Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. San Jose's food scene has long flown under the radar. It's overshadowed by the established culinary reputations of its San Francisco and Oakland neighbors, and the city suffers from its association with frequently derided tech culture. But KQED food editor Luke Tsai says he'd rather eat in San Jose than almost anywhere else in the Bay Area. That's because it is, he contends, far and away the Bay Area's greatest immigrant food city. And the thriving and diverse dining experience they've created deserves more time in the spotlight. Tsai joins us to talk more about the San Jose food scene and some of his favorite restaurants in the city. And we also want to hear from you about yours. What's the sort of place you treasure in San Jose? Give us a call now, 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. You can get in touch on Twitter and Facebook, of course, KQED Forum, or email your selections from San Jose to forum@kqed.org. Welcome back to the show, Luke Tsai.
Thanks so much for having me, Alexis.
So tell us what you mean by sort of an immigrant food city and why San Jose is at the top of your list.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, you know, the inspiration behind this series is just so many years, you know, and I should be clear from the start that I'm not from San Jose. I haven't lived in San Jose, you know, so there are definitely other people who have a stronger San Jose bona fide.
Merely an unbiased promoter of the city.
I'm just an appreciator, a longtime appreciator of the city's food scene in particular. And, you know, it's funny because over the years, you know, and I started my story off by talking about this. Whenever I would talk about this, depending on who I was talking to, you would get really different reactions, you know, and in certain company, if you said, oh, I really love San Jose, people would kind of give you this look, because I feel like San Jose, because of its association with tech, as you mentioned, and Silicon Valley, people who haven't spent a lot of time in that community just think, oh, you know, it's kind of boring. It's this sort of bland tech suburb. There's not much going on. Probably all the restaurants are geared towards, you know, affluent suburban type people. And so there's a sort of bias against it. And I think, you know, that's reflected in the media coverage too, where we talk about Oakland, we talk about San Francisco, but very rarely do you see a big spotlight on San Jose. But when I would talk to immigrants, you know, I would talk to, you know, Asian Americans, talk to Latinos, the response to San Jose is completely different. You know, they'd be like, oh yeah, of course, you know, of course, San Jose is where you go if you want to have good ramen. San Jose is where you want to go if you want to have good pho. Like, of course, everybody knows that. And so I think that disconnect was something that was really interesting to me. Why is it that people who are coming from immigrant backgrounds all know this, but yet it's sort of invisible to the rest of the world? And I think it's because there are all these amazing pockets in San Jose where you can find this amazing food. But if you were to just drive through the city, you might not realize that, because it does look a little bit suburban, you know, when you drive down the main stretches and it is just strip mall after strip mall after strip mall. And so if you have a sort of bias against strip malls, you just think, oh, that's boring. That's just a bunch of strip malls. There's nothing interesting there. But those of us who have grown up dining in strip malls know that some of the finest food in America can be found in these sort of strip malls, especially the ones that are these immigrant owned businesses. And so you have these sort of little pockets, these little enclaves. There's a stretch where like all the Vietnamese shops are, you know, including two entire malls that are just all Vietnamese shops, all Vietnamese restaurants, all Vietnamese dessert places. And then there's another stretch of Story Road in East San Jose that one of the sources that I talked to said, you know, within a mile and a half stretch of this one street, She counted 23 individual taquerias. And that's only only the ones that are visible. there are probably many more that you can't see, you know, just driving past on the street. But it doesn't look like it if you don't know, because it's all in these strip malls. It doesn't look like Fruitvale in Oakland. It doesn't look like a traditional Chinatown the way that we think of it. And so it's easy to just sort of dismiss it unless you spend time. And I think even if you live in San Jose, you might not spend time in those neighborhoods if you're not part of those communities. And so that's what I really wanted to celebrate, to say, you know, let's celebrate the strip mall, and let's celebrate these communities that are, you know, serving this amazing food, largely to their own communities and to other immigrant communities within San Jose. And they're being perfectly successful doing it. But, you know, I think they deserve our praise and our celebration just as much as any of the kind of fancier, more highly touted dining
media friendly.
Exactly.
You're listening to Luke Tsai wax poetic about San Jose and the strip mall eatery. And we want to hear from you. What's your favorite strip mall place to eat in the Bay Area? Give us a call now, 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Get in touch on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum. Or you can email your favorite strip mall place to eat to forum@kqed.org. Got our first caller. Christopher in San Jose wants to share a special restaurant.
Hi there. Thanks for having me. One of my favorite places is the Yegane Cafe on Stevens Creek Boulevard. It's a Persian food restaurant. It has a whole bunch of fare other than just Persian food, but it also recently opened up a market in the pandemic, so they closed down a lot of their indoor dining, and so they have all of this stuff. Like, it's like the only other place you can go is you have to go all the way into Saratoga to get any specialty foods. They have spice mixes. They have pistachios up the wazoo and rose. Where else can you get rose anything? So that's in my estimation, it's one of the coolest places in San Jose to go. And like you were saying, to enjoy foods of other cultures. I think Persian food does delightful things with a lot of foods that we don't really examine.
Couldn't agree more. Up there for me with Mexican cuisine, my home cuisine, in part because I feel like the stewed sweet nutty sauce, Fesanjun, is like got to be, it's basically mole from another
mole.
Thanks so much, Christopher.
Beef tongue with cucumbers.
Oh, wow, haven't gone there yet. Beef tongue with cucumbers.
That sounds amazing, Christopher.
That does sound good, yeah. thanks so much, Christopher. Luke, maybe you could tell us, like, sort of, what would be your perfect San Jose food day?
I think if you read my story, I think I actually included possible itinerary. But, you know, there are so many, and callers who are from San Jose, you know, they're listing these restaurants, and I'm sure like two-thirds of them or more I probably haven't even been to, just because there's so much to explore. But you know, this time around, exploring it for purposes of research for this series, I found out about this amazing panaderia, Mexico bakery, you know, which has been an institution in the community for a lot of years now, and they they serve beautiful, colorful, fluffy conchas. And other Mexican breads and sweets. But then they also serve the most amazing, most enormous tortas, you know, the sandwiches. And I think I shared a photo of one of the ones that I had purchased on
It's like the size of a small child, basically.
It's enormous. And it had, you know, it was a milanesa. And so it had like four layers of breaded steak cutlet. It had an entire avocado, like a large avocado cut into a few pieces, but an entire avocado, a huge thick slab of queso fresco, And then, you know, a lot of veggies and jalapenos and the works. And it was just a beautiful, delicious sandwich. And if you eat that whole thing, then that's your day. That's your day in San Jose.
Yeah, there you go.
You won't be able to eat anything else.
Pack it up, go home.
But I wanted to, another place I wanted to shout out is my favorite pho restaurant. And I think if you talk to San Jose people, particularly in the Vietnamese community, I'm sure every person will have a different favorite pho restaurant. But one of my favorites is this place called Pho Papa, which opened a few years ago. Again, it's just in this strip mall. It's like next to the animal hospital. There's always a line out the door anytime you go. And they have nothing but pho on the menu. You know, so I think a lot of times you go to Vietnamese restaurants in Oakland or San Francisco, and they feel like they have to have this giant menu to appeal to everybody, you know. So you got to have the fried, you know, egg rolls, you got to have this, you got to have rice plates, you got to have something for everyone. But no, at Pho Papa, it's just pho, nothing else but pho. It's delicious, clean, you know, invigorating broth. And their specialty is with every bowl of pho, you can get on the side an entire beef short rib that they serve whole on the bone, gigantic, slow simmered. It's kind of served in its own broth. That's kind of like a more intensified version of their pho broth. And then you just kind of eat it on the side with your pho, and it's amazing. And as far as I know, and readers can, listeners can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that was a trend that started in San Jose. Like, there were a couple of pho restaurants in San Jose that started doing this whole short rib thing. And now there's a whole bunch of places in San Jose that you can get this. But outside of San Jose, like if you go in Oakland or San Francisco, no one has that on the menu. So it just sort of speaks to this, like, we think about, like, where do you go to discover food trends? And you think like, oh, you got to go to like the hip restaurants in San Francisco or Oakland. But actually, like, if you want to find out like what's trendy within immigrant communities, well, then you have to go to where those immigrant communities are. Based.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a,
so that's just a couple of places that I would shout out, but you know, there's so many more.
Yeah. We have a couple of comments too. I don't know if you know these places. James writes, King Egg Roll on Story Road, Falafel Drive on Stevens Creek Boulevard, and 99 Chicken on El Camino Real. Karen tweets, Tofu Comche, I hope I said that correctly, and Dumero Mole as well as a couple of other places. And we have Patricia from San Jose on the line who wants to share about a special cook.
Hi.
Hi, Patricia. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Well, I just hearing your guest describe the food, I'm afraid I don't have the vocabulary. I'm not a good cook.
Oh, no, I was losing you for a sec. Maybe you could come back, Patricia. I think she was going to talk about people selling tamales. In the neighborhood, which is definitely one of the greatest things about living in a Mexican neighborhood.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I want to clarify that this is a whole series on San Jose that is still continuing to run. So it started last Wednesday, and we're doing one story every day through the end of this week. And so it's not just my piece, which you referenced, but, you know, working with seven other writers who contributed, each of them zooming in on, you know, one of these little pockets that I'm talking about. And so there are at least a couple of the stories that talk about, if what the caller was going to talk about was like sort of these tamale stands, but just like there's a whole underground economy in San Jose that's really thriving also, and even compared to other cities that have those sort of communities. Just, you know, I had this one beautiful, gorgeous essay by a poet, Mexican-American poet, Yosimar Reyes, who wrote about how when he was a kid in the 90s, his grandmother, out of their apartment, they were both undocumented, in their apartment, she started up this sort of kitchen where she would sell home-cooked Mexican meals and sell them at a discounted price, primarily to all the undocumented migrant workers who lived in their apartment complex. And he sort of draws a through line from that to the many, many similar businesses that continue to exist today that primarily cater to these immigrant communities, you know? And so again, it's like something that's invisible if you're not part of it. But it's like you have, you know, San Jose is an incredibly expensive, I mean, I think that's worth noting. It's an incredibly expensive place to live right now. Like if you go and look at the real estate listings, you won't mm-hmm. find a house for less than like $1.5 million, you know, listed on Zillow or whatever. But there are still these working class communities that are living there, you know, often like three or four families to a house. And they're the ones who are supporting these like sort of informal businesses, you know, so they're all going to, you know, someone's driveway or to someone's backyard or to someone's apartment for these kind of informal restaurants. And I wanted to celebrate that too. I think there's something beautiful about that, like sort of immigrant communities creating these food communities, you know, by and for, you know, the communities that they belong to.
I want to squeeze in one more caller, Justine from Oakland. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah,
I got so excited when I heard you guys talking about like the strip malls and especially the Vietnamese food, because I'm Vietnamese from Orange County and I grew up eating at these strip malls, and I didn't think of them as Vietnamese delis growing up because they were just something that we got food to go for dinner. And I'm now having the realization that they're like American delis, but with all these Vietnamese food. And then I'm also vegetarian, which makes it hard to find vegan Vietnamese like deli food in Oakland. There's one place called Cam Hung, but I'll make the day trip to go to San Jose just to go to these strip malls. And I even have a list on my phone of like all the places I want to hit up. So it was really good to hear you guys bring that up.
You have any place in particular you want to shout out, or you've just got the long list that you're working out?
I really like Tan Son for their variety. They're one of like the Vietnamese dessert places, but they also have a bunch of vegetarian to-go options.
Yeah, that's perfect. Well, hey, thank you so much, Justine. I do want to ask you one final thing, Luke, which is, you know, do you worry that sharing this sort of special in-community knowledge about some of these immigrant food ways and communities will kind of change them in unexpected ways?
Oh, sorry, I muted myself for a second.
Go ahead.
I think, you know, that's always a possibility when you're a journalist covering these communities, especially as a food writer, you know, like if you write about a place and it blows up, and they're not prepared for that, you know, that can have unintended consequences. So, you know, I think that's always something to be conscious of. What I will say is that I have been blown away by the response of San Jose people to this series. You know, it's sort of similar to when I did a series about Taiwanese food a few months ago. You know, I wasn't expecting that the response would be so similar, which is basically like, thank you so much for writing about us. Nobody ever pays attention to us. So thank you for finally saying it. And that's just been like the overwhelming response that I've seen, you know, on social media, is just people saying like, this was my childhood, you know, like this is my community. And somehow nobody ever pays attention to it. And I think, you know, that is worth celebrating. I am not going to put the address of like the taco spot that's like, run out of someone's apartment. Like I'm not going to send people there. But it's good for people to know that it exists.
Yeah. We'll have to leave it there. We've been talking with KQED food editor Luke Tsai about our series of stories, San Jose, the Bay Area's great immigrant food city. Thank you so much, Luke. Stay tuned for another hour of Forum Ahead with host Mina Kim.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.